This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I was thinking about this week about things that last forever. And I was trying to think about, there's not a whole lot of them. Now, if I say to you, what lasts forever, some of you ladies ought to respond with diamonds. Yeah, diamonds are forever. I don't know if diamonds are forever. I know the payment plans on them are forever, but diamonds are. I used to think that chewing gum was forever because my mother told me if I swallowed it that it was like going to last forever in my stomach. And so it made me deathly afraid of swallowing chewing gum. But if you really stop and think about it, there aren't that many things that are forever. In fact, there aren't any that are forever except when you turn to God and His things. Jesus said, my words, He said, heaven and earth will pass away. He said, my words will not pass away. But this morning, I will do a little mini-series. We'll do it for the rest of this month on three things that last forever. And it's found in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 13. It said, these three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So I want to talk this week and about a forever faith, a faith that lasts forever. And when I start talking about faith, I don't want you to be discouraged about faith. I think, in fact, I want to take some of the fuzziness out of faith. People ascribe all kinds of things to faith. A pastor had his wife had died. He was a widower, and it was lonely around his house, so he bought a parrot. And the parrot would talk, but unfortunately, whoever taught the parrot to talk before he got to the pastor taught him how to cuss, taught him how to say nasty jokes, taught him how to say crude things. And just finally got on the pastor's last nerve, and he was talking to a church member about it. He said, I got to get rid of this parrot. This parrot's got a foul mouth, just cusses all the time, says crude things to people who come in. And the church member said, oh, no. He said, don't do that just yet. He said, I have a female parrot at home, and she's a parrot of great faith. All she does is quote scripture and pray. Maybe she could influence that your parrot. The pastor said, it's worth a try. And so they brought the parrot over one day, and the female parrot, and they opened the door so she could climb into the cage. And she climbed into the cage, and the male parrot saw her and said, hey, baby, how about a kiss? And the female parrot looked up and said, my prayers have been answered. People subscribe all kinds of strange things to faith. I don't think parrots have much faith at all. But a lot of people look at their life and go, I don't think I have much faith, Alan. They look at faith almost like it's a fixed asset. Faith is a trust. It's a belief. It's a confidence. It's not a fixed act. People look at faith like they look at height or singing ability or IQ. No, no. Faith is something all of us have the capacity for, and faith can grow. I used to go to the YMCA, and I saw a church member's son come in one day a few years ago. Oh, this boy was skinny. Oh, my goodness. If he turned sideways and stuck his tongue out, he'd look like a zipper. He was skinny. And I saw him working out, and I'm thinking, son, you are never going to. So I went over to give him some pointers, in which he promptly looked at me and told me he didn't need them. And, I could have walked away from that kid and go, you know what his problem is? He doesn't have any muscles. Well, actually, he did have muscles. You just couldn't see them. They hadn't developed yet. And so, but the idea that he didn't have muscles is not correct, because if he would work out and do it the correct way and eat right, his muscles would grow. Your faith, you have faith. It might be undeveloped. It might not be as growing, but if you'll eat right and exercise it, it will grow. So you have faith and it can grow. And that's the good news. It's not a fixed asset. Some people have it. Some people, I'm not one of the special ones. Some people think that faith is an emotional response or a feeling. Listen, do not wait for feelings for faith. I just don't feel like I have any faith. Listen, faith is not so much a feeling as it is a choice. It's an action. It's choosing to respond to God's word. It's choosing to respond to His Spirit. But sometimes you can do that and there's no feelings involved. And I realize in our culture especially, we have elevated feelings to the point where people think if I don't feel it, it's not true. And if I say something, if I don't feel it, listen, you can have great faith in God with no feelings whatsoever. And that's good to know, because faith is a higher thing than feelings. Feelings are highly unreliable. You figure that out by now. Sometimes you feel great, sometimes you don't. You can't tell the difference. Why? But faith is something that's not a feeling. It's a choice. It's an action. Faith is also something that is very important to God. Now, I'm going to give you a scripture this morning that is very, that you don't see this word in God used often, and that's impossible. It's found in Hebrews 11 chapter, verse 6. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it said, you can't please God. I don't believe God set us up for failure. I don't believe He set it up that some people can please Him and some people can't. If faith is a choice, then I choose to believe God. I realize that in our country, atheism is on the rise. In fact, it's doubled in the last 10 years. Still a minority, but people are saying, you know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe that God is real. I don't believe that God exists. Well, oftentimes people are saying, prove to me there's a God. I'm not going to prove to you there's a God. You got to believe that He is. I choose to believe that He's real. I choose to believe that He created the heavens and the earth. I choose to believe that He made me. And by believing that, I have a response to Him. What we're seeing now is more scientists who are actually starting to come to faith, because what they're realizing is, hey, there's no way that we could have this complexity, that this intricate, that we look at the human body, that we look at all the things that are surrounding us. There's got to be a God in there somewhere. And scientists are coming to God. In fact, I read there's 2 million evangelical scientists who believe that there's no contradiction between science and God. Science is catching up with the God that's created everything, and He is real. And so you can believe that. People say, I don't believe that. Listen, I'm not angry at atheists. I feel for them. They're not happy people. Because when you take God out of the equation, things get dark. Oh, I look at people at funerals. I look at people going through difficult times. I've gone through difficult times. I've looked at my wife and said, I don't know what people without God do. But thank God we're not without Him. He that comes to God must believe 2 things. Believe He's real and believe He's good. You got to believe He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. God does not play hide and seek with you. If you will seek Him, you will find Him. If you go after Him, He'll draw close to you. You come near to God, He'll come near to you. He is not pulling back from you. He is not hiding. He doesn't have a bad mood. If you'll come close, He'll come close. You got to believe He's good. It's one thing to believe He's real, but it's another thing to believe. I believe you're real and you're real good. Now, this morning, I'm going to share a story with you from the Bible. I was asking the Lord, I said, what's a good example of faith? And I'd gotten on one story and I'm like, oh, that's not it. And this one came to my mind, and it's a great one. It's a story of a king. His name is Jehoshaphat. And if you've read his story before, you know exactly which one I'm going to. If you haven't, I'll introduce you this morning to Jehoshaphat. Quite a long name. People don't typically name their children that, but he's still a good biblical name. He was a good king. He loved God. And even in the middle of loving God, something bad happened to him. And we see how Jehoshaphat showed a forever faith in a forever God. We read his story in 2 Chronicles. It said, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. What a great prayer. I like this story because when Jehoshaphat heard that this massive army was coming, it didn't say, oh, Jehoshaphat was really cool with that. It said Jehoshaphat was afraid. I think sometimes people feel, oh, I've gotten in fear. I don't have any faith. I've gotten in fear, and fear has dominated me. Listen, you may have feelings of fear, and fear may come your way. It does not have to live with you. Faith can begin to kick it out. And Jehoshaphat, when he found out, now we say, oh, an army's coming. It would be like today. It would be like if we got word that the Chinese and the Russians had teamed up and they were coming against us. Now, that puts it in a different perspective. That's a, whoa, that's a lot. They're being outnumbered, a great multitude. Israel's always been outnumbered. Thank God for God, because Israel's always been outnumbered. But now they're looking at it, and Jehoshaphat's afraid, but he does something smart. He does not let fear paralyze him. He calls a fast. He said he set himself, or he set his face. He resolved, I'm going to get serious about God. He said, I'm bringing people in. He said, everybody come in. He said, and everybody's going to have a fast. Closed all the Chick-fil-A's, all the barbecue joints shut down. We're going to fast. We're going to get serious about this. And nobody eat until we get an answer. And he was serious about that. And when he prayed, I love how he prayed. He prayed a strong prayer. It wasn't a why God prayer. It wasn't a woe is me prayer. It wasn't a what in the world's going on prayer. It's a God, aren't you God? Aren't you a big God? Is there anyone that can withstand you? You're a mighty God. You're an awesome God. God, you're our God. I like that. That's in other words, God, you are bigger than them. And then he said, and we don't know what to do. He said, but our eyes are on you. Now that's a wonderful way to pray. And that's a marvelous way. And then God answered them. Now, I like how he answered them. A lot of times when we think God's going to answer, they said, and a big puff of smoke came up from over the valley, and God just wiped everybody out. Sometimes that happened. Usually it's pretty rare. But what we find is that the Holy Spirit came on one of the prophets in the area, one of the priests, one of the prophets, and he spoke. So when God answered, he answered in words. And here was his answer. He said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid of or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now here they were, man, they're serious. They're praying. They're like, God, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. And God answered them. And the first thing God said is, don't be afraid or don't be dismayed. Have you ever noticed how often God says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. We were not meant to walk in fear and discouragement. We weren't built for it. And so when God is saying that, he constantly has to reiterate that. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. And then he says, because I'm going to fight for you and I'm going to be with you. So that's a good answer. And then he even tells them where they're coming. That's better than a GPS. He said, they're coming here, and you're going to meet them right there. He said, you go out against them. He said, because I am with you. Now, when you get a word like that, you got a couple of choices. Jehoshaphat could have gone, well, I hope he's telling us the truth. Well, I hope it's true. But Jehoshaphat made a choice. He was afraid. He chose to pray. He chose to believe God. God spoke to him, and he believed it right there. He bowed his head in worship because God was going to help them. And he bowed his head and said, we'll worship. He must have told everybody else, y'all worship too, because God just gave us an answer. And that begins to show even more of Jehoshaphat's faith. But he's not done. Because it's one thing to go, oh, thank you, Lord. It's another thing to act. Remember, I said faith is an act. It's a choice. It's a decision. So we read what happened the next morning. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And now when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Boy, I love this. Again, you see his faith, because he gets up early in the morning and goes after the problem. You know you're in faith when you're not running from the problem. You get up early and go, we're going after this. How many of you know when you're looking forward to something, you get up early. You're getting on ready to go on vacation. You're up early. You got to clean the garage. You sleep in. You're thinking something good's going to happen. You're like, we're getting up early. And then when they got up early, I love how he encourages the people. He's like, hey, guys, you believe God, you'll be established. You believe his prophets, you will prosper. And then he came up with the weirdest battle strategy of all. He said, well, since we don't have to fight in this one, we're going to put the praise team up first. They're going to get to go out first. Yeah. Now, that wasn't a chicken move. That was a good move. He's like, God's helping us. So he had Justin and all the praise team, and they're out there first going, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Everybody else is following along behind going, hey, hey, his mercy endures forever. You're thinking, that's not how you fight a battle. It is if God is fighting for you. And when they listened to him and obeyed him, hey, God showed up. It says, as soon as they started singing, as soon as they started praising, God said, okay, great. And he turned those three armies, and two of them turned on the other one, and then they turned on each other. They all killed each other. And by the time the praise team and everybody showed up down in the valley, everybody's wiped out. They're dead. So all they did now was haul stuff back. They just went down, took all their stuff, and hauled it back. What a great story. Hey, a forever faith and a forever God will work for you. So here's what. You need faith to move past fear. Fear, don't let fear lock you out. You can do this, guys. Don't let fear lock. Fear can paralyze you. But you're just like, oh, you just, I can't move. About 13 years ago, we did a building campaign. We were in the high school. Our offices were in a roller rink. And we're running out of space. We rented like the whole Conroe High. Still appreciate that to this day. But we needed our own place. And so we came down. We did a building campaign. We came down to the week where everyone was going to talk about what they committed. And man, I just felt fear jump all over me. I just felt it just paralyze me. Say, well, you're a pastor. That stuff's not supposed to happen. Let me tell you something. Fear happens to everybody. But you don't have to let it dominate you. The idea is it may come, but you're like, oh, no, you don't live here. This is not your home. And so, I had a friend of mine. Thank God he helped talk me off the ledge because I was thinking, I don't know if I do this. What happens if no one gives? What happens if this happens? What happens if no one gives a thing? What happens if? What happens if? That's just how the enemy works. What if nothing happens? What if nobody gives? What if you don't make it? What if? You got to shut up the what if and go, I'm moving right past that. So I stood up and said, hey, it's time to give. Y'all gave. We did. And we're here right now. That's where you had to move past fear. So when fear comes, say, well, what do I do? When fear comes, you do like Jehoshaphat. Resolve that you're going to get serious about God. You move in his direction. And there's a wonderful promise. The promise says in Hebrews, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. A lady said this with her little daughter, Katie, when she was still in diapers, was deathly afraid of the changing table, kept thinking she was going to fall. And Katie would be on the changing table and she would turn her face and look at the edge of the table and she would go, I've fallen, Mama, I've fallen. And she's just scared. And her mom tried to reason, tried to coax. Finally, her mom came up with something that worked. She said, Katie, honey, she said, look at Mama, look at Mama. And she said, whenever her daughter would look at her mama's face, she said, a peace would come over her. Oh, guys, how do you get out of fear? Fear comes. It knocks on everybody's door. But when it comes, you've got to look past fear at your door and look beyond and say, thank God I can come boldly to a throne of grace. Thank God I've got a God, and I'm not looking at the situation. I don't keep looking. You keep looking at the problem, and the problem gets bigger. You look to your God, and the problem starts to come into perspective. So you begin to look to him and say, Father, you're my God. You're my Father. You will help me in this situation. Faith to move past fear. How about faith to pray bigger prayers? When you pray, don't pray the problem. When you pray, pray and believe that God hears you. Alan, I don't feel he hears me. We already talked about feelings. Don't even ask your feelings to get involved. But we're going to pray and we're going to ask God, Father, I believe that you hear me. And not only do you hear me, you are bigger than the problem that's come against me. God, you are bigger, and you have to get to that place. I'll tell you something that will help you immensely. If you just begin to say to yourself, whatever you're facing, and everybody faces different things, But whatever you're facing, it'd be good for you just to say during the course of your day, God, you're bigger than that. God, you're bigger than that. Jesus said something in Mark, the 10th chapter, that I love. Jesus looked at them because the disciples have gone, that was impossible. And Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. So instead of praying the problem, I've done that. Oh, my goodness. You ever done that? Just told the Lord about the problem? You're like, oh, we got this problem, and this is the situation, and this is the problem, and this is the problem, Lord, and this is the problem, and this is the problem, and this is the problem. And you just, a lot of times I'll walk and pray. You might wear a hole in the carpet just walking and praying. And then when you finish, you don't feel refreshed. You feel worn out. And you realize you hadn't prayed. You just worried in His presence. That's all. And so instead of praying the problem, how about praying the answer? God, you're bigger than this. God, are you bigger than addiction? Yeah. God, are you bigger than depression? Yeah. God, are you bigger than any sickness and any disease? Yes. God, are you bigger than marriage problems, children problems, job problems, physical problems, mind problems? God, you are bigger than all these problems. You are bigger than this. There is nothing too hard for you. You're big. So whatever. Try it this week. You will like it. Just try it. Just driving down the road, go, God, you are bigger than my messed up family. You are bigger, God. You are bigger. You can help me. What are you doing? You're praying bigger prayers to a bigger God. Let's stop acting like we've got a small God. Guys, we've got a big God. And we can pray bigger prayers. Then the last thing. You want to begin to do this faith, a forever faith. First, it moves past fear. A forever faith prays bigger prayers. And a forever faith is willing to praise God. Boy, one of the most powerful things you can do is offer God praise. I love what Jehoshaphat told those people. He said, look, if you believe God, you'll be established, you'll be firm. See, you believe His prophets, you will prosper. Prophets are anyone who is speaking for Him. We got one coming in next week. Listen to what he's got to say. You believe Him, you prosper. You believe, how about, does God send people in your life who will speak words into your life that will help you? Yes. Yes. You believe Him. You say, Alan, I don't have anybody speaking into my life. Well, thank God you've got His Word. You believe God, you believe His promises, and buddy, you will prosper because it will stabilize you and strengthen you. And then if you believe, we just do what Jehoshaphat did. Before we see the battle change, we send the praise team out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Your mercy endures forever. And we're laughing. And I realize, but I don't want to make light of that. Because if you can praise God before you see an answer, you have just stepped over into a forever faith that will help you tremendously. In 1982 in Wisconsin, the Badgers, Wisconsin University of Wisconsin, was playing Michigan State University, the Spartans. And 60,000 people packed the stands, all wearing red and white, always a rowdy crowd. And they're packing the stands, but it became very obvious that their team was not the better team, that their team was getting beat real bad. But during the game, even as the score just got more and more lopsided, all of a sudden these Badger fans, you hear whoops of a whooping of praise and joy and applause. And they're like, no one could figure out what was going on. But it was 1982. This was before smartphones. And what happened was that a lot of the fans had brought radios, transistor radios. If you don't know, ask someone over 50. They brought transistor radios to the game. And they were listening to the Milwaukee Brewers, who were winning the third game of the World Series against the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's bad stuff taking off down here on the field, but they're listening to their radios going, there's good stuff going on here. And so out of the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden you hear whoop and applause and people getting happy. Even though there's bad stuff taking place down here, there's good stuff taking place in what they're hearing. Let me tell you something, guys. Even when there's bad stuff taking place in your life, what God is saying to you is better. It's not exactly what you're seeing. It's better than what you're seeing. And you can begin to go, whoo, I'm rejoicing. Not because of what I see, but because of what I hear, what's coming in my ear. You can, and that's faith. It's not something that you're just going to get, one of these days going to be strong in faith. No, I'm making a decision to respond to God I'm responding to His word. I'm responding. And sometimes the only way I can respond is, thank you. Thank you that you have not left me alone. Thank you that you're bigger than the problems I face. Thank you that you are my God. And as I come close to you, I know you'll draw near to me. As I seek you, I know you'll reward me. Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful prayer. Thank you. Faith. I believe in the ages to come, our faith will continue to grow and develop in an awesome big God. But there's one thing that I didn't share this morning. There's one thing that's forever. And that's you. You're forever. You're a spirit being. One day you'll slip out of this body. But if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, then you have that opportunity to spend eternity with Him in heaven. Jesus said, anybody who come to me, He said, no way will cast him out. And so we believe that God sent Jesus for our sins. We believe that God put Jesus on the cross. We believe that He died for our sins. We believe that God raised Him from the dead and He's alive forevermore. We believe that. And so the scriptures say, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. And that's a forever thing. And that's for eternity. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Please, no one leaving or moving. If you came this morning and said, Alan, I've never made that decision, but I want to receive a forever faith and a forever God. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Or, Alan, I've done that and I've gotten so far away from God, I want to come home. We're not going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. But if that's you I'm talking to this morning and you want our prayers, real quickly, slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to come back to God. I need God in my life. I want to come back. Thank you. I see hands going up all over. Anybody else? Say, Alan, that's me. Wonderful. We're going to pray. We're getting ready to pray. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, oh, I missed it. I missed my opportunity. I'll tell you something. God sees hands, but He sees hearts. So you can pray this prayer right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Father, thank You for that simple step of faith that so many took in here this morning. Thank You for those that have come out of darkness into light and for those who have come back home. And Father, I thank You that You're working in them to will and do of Your good pleasure. And for the rest of us, Father, thank You that the work You've begun in us, You will complete it because we have a forever faith in a forever God. We give You all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.